This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled weekend. Are you making plans, or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a journey back in time when families gathered around the radio for a holiday drama, a classical concert with the youthful exuberance of the internationally acclaimed Jacques Thibault Trio and flutist Eugenia Zukerman, an exploration of philanthropy during this season of giving, or a unique look at Ebenezer Scrooge. We've got answers. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack.
Christmas, right this very minute. Candles in the window, carols at the spinet. Yes, we need a little Christmas, right this very minute. We need a little Christmas.
The Crescent City Sound Chorus will spread Christmas cheer as it opens the fourth annual NOLA Voice Talent Foundation's radio play of the classic Frank Capra film, It's a Wonderful Life. NOLA Voice Talent Executive Director and Founder, Stephen James.
They're a fantastic group of female singers who sing in harmony. The Crescent City Sound Chorus is, in fact, the New Orleans chapter of the Sweet Ad Alliance, which is an international organization. And they will be performing for us for the first half hour of the production. And we have a little surprise from them as well. And I'm going to tell you what it is. One of the songs in It's a Wonderful Life, I'm sure everybody is familiar with the movie, is Buffalo Gals. They have added that to their repertoire for the evening as a little lagniappe and a perfect segue to this show.
A show, James says, will tug at your heartstrings as old-fashioned radio makes a comeback in this production, adapted for radio on stage by Los Angeles writer Tony Palermo, with an original score by Jonathan Green.
So let's take our minds back to the 40s, okay? And we didn't have this wonderful technology that we have today of computers and smartphones and so on. And in fact, nothing in those days was recorded. Radio shows went out live. Radio dramas were no exception. They were performed live in front of a studio audience. And of course, the studio audience provides the ambiance, the background, the laughter, the applause, and not least of which is that it gives something for the actors to communicate with. So the audience will actually see a set of actors on the stage playing the drama with their scripts in their hand behind the mic. Now, this is absolutely enthralling for audiences because then they realize that some of the actors actually play several voices. And in our particular production, many of the actors play as many as four or five different voices.
James is one of those voice actors, an angel who comes to assist a depressed banker, George Bailey, who is in need of an intervention.
I play the role of Clarence. Clarence Oddbody, which my colleagues say is a perfect name for me. Clarence is on a quest. He's out to get his wings, all right? And the subject of his quest happens to be a certain George Bailey, who is somewhat schizophrenic in that he's going to conquer the world one minute and then he's on the brink of suicide the next minute. Okay, so it's Clarence's job, in order to win his wings, to actually save George Bailey from his own fate. So he shows George what life would have been like if he had never existed. The result of that is quite frightening. And I'll leave the audience to come along on Saturday to see how it all works out.
The annual production of It's a Wonderful Life is James's way of keeping the art of radio drama alive while giving back to the community.
The whole idea of the annual production of It's a Wonderful Life in New Orleans is to raise funds for the New Orleans and region community. In the first year we did it was in 2009. And in that year, the funds all went to post-Katrina regeneration. And in actual fact, in subsequent years, the funds have gone to regeneration in the region and urban redevelopment. This year, we're going to concentrate more on the performing arts.
The NOLA Voice Talent Foundation presents the radio onstage production of It's a Wonderful Life, with an opening performance by the Crescent City Sound Chorus at Deutsches Haus, 1023 Ridgewood Drive, Metairie. Saturday, 7 p.m., one performance only. Doors open at 6, with food and refreshments available. Free tickets will be given to the first 50 military personnel and veterans. More information at NOLAVoicetalent.org. The New Orleans Friends of Music continues its 58th concert season with a performance Wednesday night at Tulane's Dixon Hall by the Jacques Thibault Trio with guest flutist Eugenia Zuckerman. Friends of Music spokeswoman Margaret Shields.
The Jacques Thibault String Trio, when I first looked at this, I thought, oh, they must be from France. Turns out these are all instrumentalists from Berlin who studied in Berlin and got together. They're named after Jacques Thibault, the violinist, who is in a trio with Pablo Casals and Alfred Cortot. And they're now one of the rising stars in the chamber music world, a really up-and-coming group. They've won the Bonn Chamber Music Competition. They tour in England, Germany, Japan, all over Europe and the U.S., and they're now artists in residence at the Florida International Festival. Now, they have teamed up with an established and amazing flute player named Eugenia Zuckerman, who you've probably heard of because she's been famous for a long time. She's a recitalist and soloist, and she travels from New York to China giving concerts and master classes. And she's also an Emmy-nominated arts correspondent for CBS Sunday Morning, and she's on the faculty of New York University. I'm not quite sure how she ever sleeps, but she certainly has an amazing career, and she has teamed up with the Jacques Thibault Trio to create a program that's quite interesting. Instead of just being one set of instruments playing the entire concert, they're playing two flute quartets, one by Schubert, one by Mozart, and two string trios, one by Beethoven and one by Francais, which we don't hear too often, and then a CPE Bach duo for flute and violin. So that'll be a nice varied program.
That was Margaret Shields from the New Orleans Friends of Music. The concert is tomorrow night at 8 at Tulane's Dixon Hall. You can get more information at friendsofmusic.org. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO. I'm your host, Diane Mack. Tis the season for giving. And writer Ian McNulty, who produces WWNO's Community Impact Series, found a nonprofit organization with a unique niche, developing the next generation of philanthropic leaders in our city. McNulty explores the art of free giving with emerging philanthropist of New Orleans.
Dr. Cyrus Ardalan is a young dentist at a local community health center. He's always supported worthy causes, maybe by attending that fundraiser or volunteering some time. But more recently, he's found a different way to channel this giving impulse and a new way of assessing its impact, even if this new approach might require a little explanation to his friends.
When I first tell him I'm an emerging philanthropist, it comes off a little bit like, oh, well, look at you, you know. I'm like, no, no, no.
Dr. Ardalan is part of Emerging Philanthropists of New Orleans, or EPNO. This nonprofit was formed to teach young professionals the process, the power, and the rewards of philanthropy, and to pool their own contributions to local nonprofits for greater effect.
You can see how a small bit of money, whether it's $1,000 or $10,000, really goes a long way with helping these organizations fulfill their missions.
EPNO was started by a group of friends, and it remains a grassroots, bare-bones effort run entirely by volunteer members. Each year, EPNO gathers a new class of young professionals. They meet periodically over a six-month span, and each contributes $500, an amount that's doubled by matching funds from sponsors. The class then splits into teams based on the community issues they want to support, and then get to work researching the nonprofits that apply for their grants.
all the while, as they are having this hands-on grant-making experience, we also educate them about philanthropy and the nonprofit community in New Orleans.
That's Beth Shapiro-Lavin. She works in development for a local private school, and she's the chairwoman of EPNO's advisory board. Even after a class distributes its grant funding for the year, she says that members tend to stay involved with their chosen causes, volunteering more of their time, organizing their own fundraisers, and promoting the groups they've learned so much about. Because class members change every year, the particular issues they address may change too. But the overarching goal of emerging philanthropists is something much more long-term.
It's definitely our hope that beyond this program, people feel like the term philanthropist is demystified and that their contribution, whatever it may be, a dollar amount or volunteer time or just being an advocate, is really valuable. We are really building this network of individuals who are looking to do good for our community and nonprofits who are looking to do good for our community and trying to bring them together and keep those relationships going.
For Dr. Ardalan, a recent transplant to New Orleans, the experience of emerging philanthropists has also enriched his relationship with his new home.
I've been here since 2009, definitely, and without a doubt. And I would say probably every individual that goes through this class definitely feels like they're a bigger part of the community, because you can kind of live New Orleans one way and appreciate all the social aspects of it. But when you get involved with philanthropy on this level, you really tend to appreciate what's being done for the community on a ground level with the individuals really in need.
Learn more about emerging philanthropists of New Orleans at WWNO.org. For WWNO, I'm Ian McNulty.
The Community Impact Series is made possible with support from the Greater New Orleans Foundation. Helping someone else, being compassionate and kind toward others. Lessons Ebenezer Scrooge learned on a transforming journey that comes to life as Southern Rep Theater presents a unique take on Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol.
A play with music adapted by Doris Baisley. It's not your mama's Christmas Carol. It's a play within a play. So it starts with a Victorian troupe of actors. And what they find out at the very beginning of the play is that their Tiny Tim got fired for eating the Christmas dinner and that their Scrooge has decided to become a farmer in Zagreb. So they have to figure out how to recast those roles. Lickety split.
That's Southern Rep Theater's artistic director, Aimee Hayes, who couldn't be happier with the company's first production in its new home as a theater in residence at the CAC, Contemporary Arts Center. What unfolds is pure theater magic.
They tell the story through all sorts of theater magic of the time, through mime and clowns and recreating things with physical movement and dance. It's really kind of magical.
Hayes says the role of Scrooge is skillfully handled by New Orleans actor Spud McConnell.
I adore Spud McConnell in this role because I think Spud, just as a person, he can have that sort of gruff exterior, and he's really the dearest human being. And I just love that he gets to be that sort of dark, you know, bah humbug kind of guy. Spud's a classically trained actor, so he's also such a fine comic. From the funny parts of the play to the actual true meaning of what this play is about or what it is for me, I think Scrooge's, his journey is something that Spud brings so to life because of his own sort of view about life. I think that Christmas Carol teaches us to pay attention to our fellow man and to really be open to how can we help one another. That's the true message of the play, is to be available in that way. And I think Spud has that spirit himself.
And 10-year-old Julian Simmons has a smile that will melt your heart and an acting ability that will blow you away in his role as Tiny Tim.
Julian Simmons. He's our breakout star. Julian was in Southern Reps Academy SRT productions. He played Grandpa in Willy Wonka at the age of 8. He was amazing. And he was Curly this summer in Oklahoma in our summer production. And so we've had our eye on him for quite some time, and we're so excited when he came and auditioned for Tiny Tim. He just knocked it out of the park. He's amazing. He's just really available. I love the scenes between him and Spud. I think they're my favorite moments in the play.
There are many surprises throughout this alternative take on Dickens' A Christmas Carol, including the use of handbells and audience participation.
I think the actors were surprised that they were going to play handbells, too, because it's something that really takes quite a bit of training. And we had a terrific team of Chris and Shelley Burton and Jefferson Turner who helped train the actors to learn how to play the handbells. And the handbells are used throughout the play, not just we do a couple of songs with the handbells, but for special effects and for like scary music when the ghosts come, and then for really festive music during some of the dance sequences. And I'm so proud of our cast and our director, Anne Mahoney Kadar, for figuring out and making this beautiful music happen with people who'd never done it before.
The special effects are simple, refreshing, and will spark your imagination. Hayes says, after all,
as an audience member, that keeps you engaged, it makes the show exciting, and it's really the power of theater to make something out of nothing.
In the end, Hayes says the Black Box Theater is filled with joy and cheer.
And you can interact or not interact. There's some singing that the audience can do, and there's some dancing that the audience can or can't do if they want to. And I think that that also makes it feel like it's not an audience watching a play. It's very much that you become part of this story just as much as this traveling troupe of actors in enacting the story of Ebenezer Scrooge.
Southern Rep Theater presents Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, a holiday classic with a twist, with additional performances now running through December 22nd at the Contemporary Arts Center, 900 Camp Street. And we have something extra in our Lanyap Corner. Thousands of costumed revelers are expected in the Warehouse District for the Running of the Santas Saturday. A national event which began in New Orleans last year is back to raise money for military families. The event began 13 years ago in Philadelphia and is now held in cities across the country. The day-long adult event kicks off at noon Saturday in the Warehouse District with a bar crawl. The run starts at 6 p.m. at the South Pole, located at Lucy's Surfer Bar on Chapatula Street, and ends at the North Pole, which is Generations Hall on Andrew Higgins Drive. The National Rock Band Category 6 will perform at Generations Hall till midnight. More info at runningofthesantas.com/new-Orleans. City Park is all aglow with its premier holiday event, Celebration in the Oaks. Visitors can walk through a million twinkling lights in the Botanical Garden, Carousel Gardens Amusement Park, and Storyland. There are new exhibits along the train ride and a photo op with Mr. Bingo. Celebration in the Oaks is open nightly through January 1st, dark on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. More info at celebrationintheoaks.com. The St. Louis Cathedral Choir will perform its annual holiday concert Sunday at 5:30 p.m. This year, Rabbi Edward Cohn, Cantor Joel Coleman, and the Temple Sinai Choir will join the Cathedral Choir to celebrate Hanukkah and Christmas in a concert titled Festival of Lights. The combined choirs, soloist, and the St. Louis Cathedral Orchestra will perform excerpts from Handel's Judas Maccabeus and all of Vivaldi's Gloria. The concert is free and open to the public. Sunday, beginning at 5:30 p.m. in St. Louis Cathedral. Save the date, January 6th. That's when the 5th annual Joan of Arc Parade walks in the French Quarter on Joan of Arc's 601st birthday. The medieval-themed walking parade begins at Bienville Park at the Bienville statue at Conti and Decatur Streets and ends in Dutch Alley. There will be an after-party on the river after the parade at the steamboat Natchez Landing with live music and some crew surprises. The parade strolls Sunday, January 6th at 6 p.m. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.